Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of A Whole Lot of Grey. As always, I'm your host Anish Anandram, and I'm super pumped about today's episode because we're going to be discussing a topic that I'm pretty sure everybody in the world, or at least 99% of people in the world, have discussed in some capacity at least once. But I'm guaranteeing you that 99% of those discussions that have happened are happening in a way that is not conducive to actual debate or finding an actual solution. Because sadly, the world we live in today operates through a highly binary framework and tends to approach every single issue through either a black or a white lens. And it's this reality that actually serves as the very basis for our platform, A Whole Lot of Grey, where we dissect all relevant issues through a nuanced grey area approach, as opposed to contributing to what is already a highly polarized environment. Now, the biggest issue with following this black-white binary framework is that you tend to view serious socioeconomic topics with blind passion as opposed to an objective mind. And at A Whole Lot of Grey, we recognize that the healthier approach is being able to evaluate each issue on a case-by-case basis based on the merit of facts and data, thereby forming an informed opinion. For example, we believe that it is possible to both support universal healthcare systems while also supporting tax breaks and tax exemptions on capital gains. And you'd be surprised how few people believe that both are possible, because they're viewing things through a black-white binary approach as opposed to the whole lot of gray framework. Now, one of the most basic issues, which is actually the topic of discussion on today's episode, that has fallen prey to this black-white binary approach is the age-old question of capitalism versus socialism. Now, you have one side of the aisle that'll have you believe that actively supporting capitalism has to mean that you must hate poor people, while the other side will have you believe that you must hate freedom and individual liberty if you support socialism. When in reality, here are the definitions of both capitalism as well as socialism. So simply put, capitalism is an economic and political system that relies on the performance of markets and the laws of supply and demand, while socialism is an economic system which relies on central planning from the government. Now, given that neither the markets nor the government are infallible or perfect institutions, it is super futile to approach this debate through a black-white binary lens where it's either capitalism or socialism, right? And especially because this black-white binary lens has only polarized this debate further. You have certain global political parties around the world that vilify capitalism as an exclusively exploitative economic system, while some other political parties crucify socialism as being an ideology that is solely intended to entirely control the human population. And both are obviously extreme stances and completely discard the positives that we as humans could derive out of either or economic system. And here at A Whole Lot of Grey, we believe that the question, capitalism or socialism, in and of itself is a highly flawed question. Now, this is given that most successful economies in the modern world today are actually mixed economies, meaning that they have tenets of both capitalism as well as socialism. So that's why we believe straight off the bat that the question to pick either or is super flawed, because, you know, we're going to demonstrate through evidence during the course of this episode that the best countries in the world tend to be mixed economies. So while people are entitled to their own biases and preferences, myself included, it is very imperative to recognize that in order for an economy to be truly successful, it does need to have both tenets of capitalism as well as socialism. Now, myth busting is something we do frequently on this podcast, and some common misconceptions and myths which I would like to tackle and debunk straight away. The first one is we often hear across the board that Scandinavia is the perfect example of a socialist heaven, right? They have universal healthcare, free education, the prison system's great, all state funded. We hear this on and on and on. But the Tax Foundation, which is a global think tank that has all the data on all sorts of tax rates, actually elucidates a very interesting fact that all Scandinavian countries have a lower corporate income tax rate than the United States of America. And the United States of America is widely heralded as the least socialist country in the world. But what does this mean in plain and simple English, right? In plain and simple English, this means that Scandinavian governments are incentivizing their companies and businesses more than the United States government does, at least in terms of revenue earned by these companies and businesses, which is a highly capitalistic trait. The socialist move would be to tax the hell out of them, which is happening more so in the US than in Scandinavia. So don't just believe that Scandinavia is a socialist heaven because it has free healthcare, right? They literally are taxing their companies and businesses at lower rates than the US does. Now, similarly, we hear that the US is extremely free market and not socialist in nature at all. It's a highly capitalist country. Now, it probably is the most capitalist country in the world today, but that said, it still has some of the world's largest welfare programs. So, for example, Social Security and Medicare and federal employment of the American people as a result of Social Security and Medicare is ridiculously high. So the 2020 annual report from the trustees of Social Security and Medicare show that these two welfare programs were 40% of the total expenditures by the United States federal government in 2019, right before the pandemic struck, which means half the expenditures of the US government is going towards financing these welfare programs. And after the pandemic struck, because of COVID, I think, you know, we can all fairly logically assume that more people are going to be on welfare after the pandemic. The number was that one in every six Americans following the pandemic were recipients of Social Security and Medicare benefits. And now ask yourself, like, if almost half a government's budget is going towards financing these welfare programs, and one in every six people are recipients of said welfare benefits, is that not a tenet of socialism? So again, don't just buy the argument that, oh, America's super capitalist and Scandinavia is super socialist, right? I'm giving you examples on how Scandinavia is, you know, exhibited capitalist tendencies with the corporate income tax rates, and America has exhibited socialist tendencies by virtue of having super large welfare programs, which, you know, accumulate almost half the federal budget. Excuse me. Now, both Scandinavia as well as the United States of America are far from perfect geographic regions and societies, but both consistently score extremely high in most metrics and indices of happiness, prosperity, growth, development, whatever other metric or measure of society that you would look at, right? And at least relative to the 200 other odd countries on the planet, Scandinavia and the US are consistently in the top 10 percentile of every single measure, right? And a huge reason for that is because they're both thriving mixed economies, meaning they don't employ this black or white binary lens of, oh, okay, we have to be 100% capitalist or 100% socialist. Now, sticking ideologically to a black or white position and ignoring the gray area is extremely dangerous. There are pretty much zero purely capitalist countries in the world today, so I can't comment on what that would actually look like, but there are purely socialist countries in the world even today, to the point where they've evolved into communist states, right? Like North Korea, China, Vietnam, and Laos are all super communist in nature. China, again, has tenets of a mixed economy because they are incentivizing their businesses to ramp up growth and production. But if you look at a country like North Korea, you look at a country like Laos, they're among the poorest, most authoritarian, and unhappiest regions on the planet. If you look at Population Review, Freedom House, or any other think tanks and organizations that conduct these sort of surveys and studies, and they're consistently ranked on the lower ends of the spectrum. Now, even if you look at the case of India, which is, again, a solid example of a mixed economy in the world's largest democracy, even in India, you've seen Prime Minister Indira Gandhi in the 1970s. It was her deep ideological commitment to socialism that, A, fun fact, many Indians and non-Indians alike may not even know this. Fun fact, it was her deep ideological commitment that actually inserted the word socialism into India's constitutional preamble. And second, she went completely off the deep end with her ideological commitment to socialism, introducing it to a constitutional preamble. Look, that's one thing. But tax rates went up to 99%, all right? And she declared a state of national emergency to essentially crack down on all the country's institutions, to crack down on free speech, to crack down on civil liberties. And like I said, it was the true deepest of the deep ends of socialism and went turned into full-blown authoritarianism and state control. And for all our non-Indian listeners today, check out the 1975 Indian emergency at the hands of Prime Minister Indira Gandhi. It is easily the darkest and most autocratic period in modern Indian political history. And note, I'm saying modern Indian political history, which is after we became independent. I'm not comparing it to the British Empire and stuff. But anyway, while there are certainly philosophical discussions to be had on which ideology is better suited for or more relevant in today's day and age in the 21st century, the practical utility of such discussions like capitalism versus socialism, they make zero sense given that all successful economies in modern societies require both a strong private as well as a public sector to thrive. So for example, if you say you want universal healthcare, you want to distribute wealth to reduce income inequality, you cannot distribute wealth if there is no wealth being created. You cannot have wealth distribution without wealth creation. And wealth distribution is a tenet of socialism. Wealth creation is a tenet of capitalism. So again, like if you look at the theory, you need to have both in either which way. And like I said, Scandinavia and America, I mean, you know, obviously there are, we can pick their own flaws with both these societies, but relative to 200 other countries in the world, they are immensely successful. And like I said, they're both great examples of mixed economies, and they're both examples of countries on which people tend to have certain misconceptions on, you know. So the focus, I think, you know, that we as, you know, global citizens should be undertaking, as opposed to having these capitalism versus socialism debates and these meaningless, futile capitalism or socialism questions, given that they're binary black or white lenses, I think the focus to evaluate it in a true gray area spirit should instead be on A, figuring out what sectors in a government, what sectors in a society, what issues ought to be driven by capitalism in the free market, and what sectors ought to be socialized for the benefit of the public, right? In fact, I would even advocate PPPs as the norm for all societies going forward, which is PPPs, if you don't know, they're an acronym for public-private partnerships, right? And recent reports in the past couple of years from both the World Bank, one of the largest government-led institutions, and McKinsey, interestingly, one of the largest private consulting firms, have suggested that collaborations between the private and public sectors, or PPPs in short, lead to improved results in infrastructure, healthcare, and technology projects owing to collaborations in innovation, labor, resources, and capital. And they've noticed that this is a phenomenon that benefits societies regardless of income, development, culture, race, ethnicity, religion, so on and so forth, right? Which means straight off the bat, even the World Bank and McKinsey, you have essentially the best state-led organization and the best private organization both telling you that, hey, listen, evaluating development through a black or white lens is futile because public-private partnerships have great potential, especially in sectors pertaining to healthcare, technology, and infrastructure, which I'm sure that, you know, while you may disagree with some other things I could have said, we can all agree that healthcare, technology, and infrastructure are three super important sectors in order for a society to thrive. Now, that was point A. And point B, I believe the focus should instead be on improving institutions as a whole and focusing on institutional reform, as opposed to vilifying, you know, big businesses or corporations, or even, like I said, the polar opposite, pretending that any sort of state involvement amounts to full-blown authoritarianism, right? Because if we shift the social focus on, you know, on reforming strong institutions, meaning having a strong judiciary that protects the citizenry, having strong law enforcement that protects the citizenry, having strong electoral representation that ensures that, you know, our leaders are voicing issues that are representative of what people are talking about at that point in time. If we shift the focus towards this institutional reform and these PPPs, like I said, as opposed to, oh, capitalism or socialism, we'll at the very least ensure that the right kinds of discussions on maximizing our prosperity are taking place, regardless of which political party may be in charge and independent of whether they are largely capitalist or socialist in nature. I hope this makes sense, and I hope, you know, I'm sure at least one listener is going to encounter an individual who is arguing on the merits of capitalism versus socialism. And like I said, philosophical debates are fine, but if we're serious about practical utility and moving forward as a species at this point, that needs to change. The norm instead needs to be one of, hey, listen, why not capitalism and socialism? But anyway, thank you for sticking through to the end of this episode. My Instagram and socials are in the bio of Spotify, YouTube, Apple, Google, Hubhopper, wherever you're listening to this episode on. Thanks for sticking through. Throw us a subscribe and a share and a like and a comment and all that jazz if you enjoyed the content. And stay tuned for our next episode on institutional reform, which is going to be dropping soon. We have a whole lot of cool, exciting content here on A Whole Lot of Gray on all the issues that matter, all the issues that you've thought about in a way that's dissected like nobody else is doing it, essentially. So we hope you'll subscribe and stay tuned for the journey. As always, cheers, guys, and enjoy the weekend going forward.